For over 50 years, people have relied on Village Green Apothecary to give them individualized nutrition, pharmacy, and healthy living products. Village Green provides you with the kind of personalized help and attention that mass market pharmacies have long ago forgotten. You can depend on us for knowledge, experience, product selection, customer service, and a smile. Visit Village Green in Bethesda at 5415 West Cedar Lane or call us at 301-530-0800 or go to our website at myvillagegreen.com. We're here to help you.
Welcome, listeners, to the Essentials of Healthy Living on 1500 AM, brought to you by the Village Green Apothecary, located at 5415 West Cedar Lane in Bethesda, Maryland. I'm Dana Lake, and I alternate the show with Dr. Kevin Pissarro, trying to bring you a wide variety of really good information all about you and your health. Now, the show is streamed through myvillagegreen.com, and this is a reminder that Village Green is your resource for questions about your health via the website and the store on Cedar Lane. They give expert advice, and they carry superior supplements from many manufacturers, including their own Pathway products. Now, we're here every Sunday morning at 10 a.m., so please tune in next Sunday for Kevin's interview on treating thyroid problems. Now, our guest today is Bill Shadle. He's a gifted educator on health, nutrition, and he is also Senior Director of Strategic Development for Metagenics. Now, our topic is the right diet, finding one that fits. So we're going to talk about this confusing issue for most people, all about diet. Bill, let's get started with the information, and hopefully we'll be able to cover a lot during the these different segments.
Well, thank you, Dana. It's a very interesting and, of course, pertinent topic. I don't think you can go to the grocery store today without seeing in the magazines on the way out the latest diet that's supposed to cure everything or make you magically lose weight without any change in the food you eat or no exercise. The claims are all over the place. So I think this is a very pertinent topic. Thank you for inviting me.
Yes,
one of the things that I would start with is understanding when we talk about diet, there are a number of different things we can be referring to. We can be meaning, are you trying to lose weight? Because a diet, by its most people's understanding of it and its definition, is a restriction of calories of some way so that you can lose weight. There's a second way of looking at diet, which is more of a general kind of guidelines on what's a good way to eat healthy or to be healthy through selecting the foods that we eat. Are there foods that are better for us and foods that are not good for us? And how do you know? And thirdly, is there a particular health goal that you're looking for? That's not necessarily just weight loss, but some people will say, well, probably the best example of that is a low gluten diet or a gluten-free diet for those patients who have celiac disease, who if they eat any gluten-containing products, will have a flare-up in the symptoms of inflammation in their gut, which contributes to a lot of misery. So first of all, the important thing is to understand, are we just looking at weight loss? Are we looking at a particular health goal? Or are we looking at a way to be healthy?
And I think for our discussion purposes, the answer is yes, because our listeners are saying, yes, that's what I want. That's what I need. I need to lose weight. But I like that you have focused on these three aspects. Because I don't think many people think of that, and I do agree that the word diet usually means to somebody lose weight, starve yourself, restrict yourself, and can be unpleasant. And I do like that focus of what's a healthy diet. And within that, what's a healthy diet, the one that you talked about, within that is specific health problems. You mentioned celiac. Right. It could be cardiovascular disease. It could be a certain type of allergy, lactose intolerance, where people might have problems with what may be considered healthy foods for other people, but not for them. I can also think of the nightshades, which are pro-inflammatory, and not everybody reacts negatively to them, but those with inflammation can improve by avoiding them. So I'm thinking of many connections between specific health goals and what is healthy. So we're really getting to the individual, what's healthy for me.
Right, right. And it's so intriguing because there's so much information. There's so many opinions. There's so many people who are self-proclaimed experts, and some of them are truly experts. I'm not trying to denigrate anybody, but it is very difficult to just go into a bookstore and pick out the right diet. And in particular, since something as foundational and as fundamental as the food that we eat should be so confusing or should have so many differing opinions, it's very intriguing to me. But let's talk a little bit about some just general, very broad principles, if we may. First of all, the thing to remember is that calories are not bad. Calories are nothing more than a way of measuring the potential energy that's available in a food. A calorie, the definition, the chemical definition or the physics definition of a calorie is the amount of heat that's required to raise a very small amount of water, 1 cubic centimeter, 1 degree Celsius at sea level. So all it is a way to measure the amount of energy that comes from a food. Secondly, the food that we eat, there are only three sources of calories, and those are proteins, fats, and carbohydrates. And we have to have all three of them in order to survive. We need protein, we need fat, and we need carbohydrate. And the reason is that there's two things that those calories do, or those foods that contain the calories do. One of them is to provide calories, just literally fuel that we then burn or convert into energy through a complex biochemical process. And the second is that those also contain the building blocks that we need to either build or repair our own tissues. So all of the fat that we eat, almost all of it, I should say, comes in the form of what are called triglycerides. Those triglycerides are modified in our body and then go into every membrane of our tissue. So every cell of our body is made up of the fat that we eat. And the fat that we eat, the type of fat that we eat, we've heard of saturated versus unsaturated, polyunsaturated versus monounsaturated, and so forth. Omega-3, omega-6, all of these are different chemical definitions or ways of describing the types of fats that we consume. And they're all necessary, but the problem is that we tend to eat too much of certain ones that then contribute to, as you mentioned before, inflammation or to just generalized obesity. The second is carbohydrates. Carbohydrates are predominantly for fuel, and those are things we think of as sugars. They can be simple sugars like what you find in fruits. They can be more complex carbohydrates or more complex sugars that we sometimes call starch, and that's found in things like potatoes and rice. And those are converted to energy, which we need for every single function of our body. And then lastly are proteins. And proteins make up muscle mass. They're found in animal as well as vegetable products, and they're important for building muscle, but they're also important for helping to support our immune system. They go to make up all the different chemical messengers that our bodies have, like they contribute to the production of enzymes, or they're involved in the body's manufacture of enzymes that drive all of the thousands and thousands of different biochemical processes that go on in our body. So understanding the proteins, fats, and carbohydrates are neither good nor bad. They just are, and they're all necessary in certain amounts. Helps us to, I think, get a grip on how to approach this complex topic of what to choose for ourselves.
Well, you've given a wonderful overview, and I think it's always wise to start this way because it puts us all on the same page of understanding. And one of my pet peeves is the discussion of the pyramid, which always referred to food groups, where grains were a food group, dairy was a food group, and they're not. Yeah. You mentioned the only three food groups that humans need to consume: fat, carbs, and protein. So our grains are a carbo choice. Beans are a protein and carbo choice, and milk products are a protein choice with some carbo in there. So it's interesting to me that whenever I've been interviewed on elimination diets, I warn the interviewer not to make the mistake and say that a gluten-free diet or gluten-casein-free diet eliminates two very basic food groups, and I explain it. And rarely do they not do that. What they do is invariably say, but you're eliminating basic food groups. And I always remind people those foods have only been in the human diet for 0.0005% of human history. They are new. Doesn't mean we can't eat them, but it doesn't mean they're required. They're options.
Yeah.
So we have about a minute left in this segment. What else do we want to tell people? I think this overview is wonderful, by the way, Bill.
Well, thank you. I think that one of the things we should tell people are that there are, and we can address this more in the next segment, but there are some very foundational principles that we can live by that help us to make food choices. And they're just reasonable. They're not necessarily laws, but they're more like general principles to live by. An example would be to try and stay away from highly processed foods. And part of the reason for that is that every step in the processing of the foods removes some of its nutrient value. And when I define nutrient value, I'm not talking about calories per se here, because the calories are usually there in abundance. What's removed are the vitamins and minerals and other food factors that are necessary for us to maintain our health.
Yes, I think that's important. That is a number one recommendation, and we'll talk about more recommendations in the next segment. And for those who have just tuned in with us, you're with the Essentials of Healthy Living on 1500 AM, brought to you by Village Green Apothecary. I'm Dana Lake, your host for the hour. Please stay with us. We'll be right back after this break with good information on finding a diet that fits. And our topic is the right diet. And the right diet is different for each individual. So stay with us, folks. We'll be right back.
Megafood Premium Whole Food Supplements are the only supplements crafted from scratch with farm-fresh whole foods to deliver nourishment the way nature intended. Megafood believes Mother Nature knows best. They select only fresh whole food, harvested at the peak of ripeness, handle it gently and with care to deliver its vital essence to you in every bottle. Megafood, from farm to tablet, our name is our promise. For more information, visit us online at megafood.com.
Zymogen is pleased to announce the arrival of Fit Food, a delicious, high-quality, functional food that's formulated to support weight management, healthy body composition, glycemic management, cardiovascular and immune health, and more. Each delicious serving of Fit Food contains 21 grams of pure New Zealand-sourced bioactive whey protein, 6 grams of fiber immune-supporting oat beta-glucan, and additional glutamine, glycine, taurine, and MCTs. Fit Food provides holistic support for today's active body. Learn more at Zymogen.com. Available now through your healthcare professional and Village Green Apothecary.
All over the world, people are beginning to discover fish oil is one of the best secrets for unlocking great health. Thousands of studies have shown the amazing effects of these powerful omega-3s for heart health. Plus, fish oils have even been shown to balance moods and lessen anxiety. With exceptional taste, unrivaled freshness, and unsurpassed purity, Nordic Naturals is the easy way to get your omega-3s every day. To learn more, visit Village Green Apothecary or visit NordicNaturals.com. Nordic Naturals, committed to the planet, committed to pure and great-tasting omega oils.
The brain requires nutrition just like the rest of the body, and this is where Gero Formula's Neuro Optimizer comes to the rescue. Neuro Optimizer is a concentrated source of nutrients needed for memory, mood, concentration, and focus. Neuro Optimizer supplies the building blocks for neurotransmitters, the chemicals that allow cells in the brain to communicate and to file away memories. Neuro Optimizer is the nutritional answer to the brain's needs. To learn more about formulas, visit Gero.com. Gero Formulas, available at Village Green Apothecary.
Are you under a lot of stress these days? Pressure from your job, personal life, politics? It can all take a serious toll on your health. But we can help. Village Green Apothecary can help you achieve a healthier lifestyle with our wide range of nutritional supplements, health-related books, and more. We've been providing customized nutrition and healthy living resources for over 50 years, and we'll take the time to advise you about your unique needs. Stop by Village Green Apothecary in Bethesda at 5415 West Cedar Lane or visit our website at myvillagegreen.com.
Welcome back, listeners, to the second segment of The Essentials of Healthy Living on 1500 AM, brought to you by Village Green Apothecary. I'm Dana Lake, alternating the show with Dr. Kevin Passaro, and we try to bring you a lot of really good information all about you and your health. Now, a reminder that Village Green is your resource for questions and products, and you can contact them through the website and certainly the store on Cedar Lane. Now, I want to remind you we're here every Sunday morning at 10 a.m., and next Sunday, Kevin will be interviewing our guest on treating thyroid problems, and that will be interesting because that's quite a controversial subject. And our guest today is Bill Schadel. He's a gifted educator on health and nutrition who is also Senior Director of Strategic Development for Metagenics. And our product is, our topic is the right diet, finding one that fits. And I thought you gave such a good overview, Bill, about the importance of calories. They're neither good nor bad. Protein's neither good nor bad. Fat, neither good nor bad. Carbo's neither good nor bad. And it just depends on what kind. So thank you for that overview. Let's carry this conversation forward. And you were talking about foundation choices. What can people do right now, as soon as this show is finished, what can they do to change their diet right now?
Well, that's a good question, and I think the first thing that I would suggest, we touched on this before the break, is to try and avoid foods that are highly processed. And in the context of processing foods, what happens is that many of the things that we find important for maintaining health are removed to improve the stability of the food, to make it last longer on a shelf and to lessen its likelihood it's going to be consumed by pests or go bad. And so we take out some of the things that it turns out we need for health. An example of that would be every time you process grain, you remove some of the vitamins and minerals. You take the husk off of it, for example, for wheat, and that takes away many of the vitamins and minerals. Now, vitamins and minerals and other things that aren't considered either a vitamin or a mineral are usually in foods in very, very small amounts, but they're called cofactors because they're necessary to help to drive all the biochemical processes that we need or that are required for us to maintain day-to-day living. So a highly processed food would be something I would try and stay away from. Try and eat fresh fruits and vegetables if you can, rather than dried fruits. Because interestingly, even converting a fruit into a fruit leather, a dried fruit like dried apples or dried peaches, that doesn't just take away water. It also concentrates the amount of sugar that's in it, which may change the way it's used in our body. So trying to eat as much as we can in its natural state is one good principle. And I'm not saying that we need to eat everything raw either, because actually sometimes cooking things not just kills the bacteria in it that may be harmful to us, but also changes the structure of the cell membrane that makes it more available for us to digest. An example of that is carrots.
Yes.
Cooked carrots are actually more available to us from the nutritional standpoint than raw carrots, because the cooking process softens and changes the tough membrane that's hard for us to digest.
And so, that's interesting, because people ask me, how should I eat carrots? Raw, cooked, juice, in mm-hmm. foods? And I say yes. All of it.
Exactly. And I'm not saying one is right and the other is wrong. I'm saying try and achieve a balance. And don't make the assumption that raw is always better or cooked is always better, because, as you say, there's good reason for each of them.
Yes.
So first then would be to stay away from the highly processed foods. The other challenge or the other reason that that's a good idea is because the processing system tends to add sugar to everything. And you'll watch for labels, become a label reader, and look for things like high fructose corn syrup. High fructose corn syrup in and of itself is not a poison, as some people might try and say, but what the problem is that it's everywhere. It's a very cheap sweetener. It's corn syrup, which is abundant because we process so much corn in our society, and then they add fructose to it to make it taste sweeter, make it taste more like sucrose, which is normal, what we think of as table sugar, and it's added to everything. And if high fructose corn syrup, or HCFS, is one of the top four or five ingredients, I try and stay away from it. That's just a general rule. Again, not because that's poisonous to us, but because so much of it contributes to obesity and to calories.
Excellent.
And unwanted calories. The second thing is there are two foundational principles that I really like that are easy to remember. They're a little harder sometimes to apply because it means you have to stop and think. But the first one is I'm a big fan of Michael Pollan and his books, The Omnivore's Dilemma, Food, and he's a journalist who's written extensively about foods. And he has a general statement that he's coined. It's a simple seven-word statement, which is eat food, mostly plants, not too much. And I love that because it's a great kind of a easy thing to remember, and it carries so much robustness and so much weight to it that it helps people to make better food selections. So when he says eat food, that's his way of saying try and stay away from the highly processed things that really aren't food. They're more like snacks. And
right. He's talking about real food.
Right, real food, the things that you find around the periphery of the grocery store, you know, where the fruits and vegetables are fresh, and stay away from things that aren't really food. I mean, they're just simple calories. An example would be a candy bar. An occasional snack as a candy bar isn't a bad thing, but if that's the primary source of calories, then it becomes a bad thing. Occasionally having a soft drink. I'm not saying that they're good for you. They're probably not. But every so often, I'll hear people say, well, you know, sodas are a poison. Well, they're not. They're not healthy, but they're not necessarily a poison either, in the sense that you drink one and it's going to contribute to years of distress. It's just a bad choice, because it contains almost completely calories that are empty of any other nutritional value. There's very little vitamins, no minerals, and other things that are important for helping to use those calories. So eat food. Secondly, mostly plants. We evolved around eating mostly plants. And if you look at indigenous societies where they're closer to the way that they've historically consumed their food, almost without exception, animal meats, animal products are condiments. They're put in for flavor and for a little bit of nutritional value. They're not the primary source of calories. So when here in America, when we go out to eat, it's a hamburger, French fries, and a drink. Well, the hamburger is the main source of calories, and the meat is the largest source of those calories frequently within that serving, or maybe it's a steak or something like that. Well, historically, we have never gotten most of our calories from animal products. And just from an economic perspective, it takes something like 50 pounds of people food, in other words, food that we could eat, to feed to an animal to convert into 1 pound of people food. Economically,
right,
it makes less sense. So mostly plants is Pollan's suggestion that we try and focus on having plant-based foods or plant-based selections as our primary source of calories, and have animal products like meat, kind of like, think of a stir fry, where you add little bits of chicken or little bits of fish or little bits of beef rather than the primary source of calories. And then the last thing he said is not too much. And there's another book that I'm a fan of. It's by Dan Buettner, called The Blue Zones, where he went around the world and looked at these places where people live longer than normal. They have a much higher percentage of centenarians than other areas in the world. And one of them was Okinawa. And in Okinawa, they have a mantra that they tell themselves called Hara Hachibu, which means 80% full. And their habit is eat until you're about somewhere around 75% to 80% full. You're not really full. And then you push back from the table and you're done. So you're still a little bit hungry while you're eating and when you stop. And what that does is allows our sensation of fullness, or the cessation of the hunger mechanism, to catch up with what's actually in our stomach, because that lags behind what we eat.
In other words, which is why people overeat. They're exactly. Still on that sensation of hungry, eat more, eat more, eat more.
Right. And so eat food, mostly plants, not too much. I love that. And the second one is a friend of mine who's a nutritionist named Deanna Minnick has a whole website around this concept. I think you know Deanna.
Yes.
She talks about eating a rainbow.
Yes.
And the interesting thing about that, eating a rainbow, and she makes it clear that she tells people that doesn't mean to eat the blue M&Ms. That means make sure that when you're selecting your food, that you select from a color palette as much as from any other way to choose. And fruits and vegetables in particular contain naturally occurring compounds that give food their color. So, for example, in tomatoes, it's a substance called lycopene that makes it red. In carrots, it's beta carotene that makes it orange, and so forth. And there are over 10,000 of these different compounds that contribute to the naturally occurring color of the fruits and vegetables we eat. Potatoes can be purple. Same with carrots, can be purple. They can be yellow. They can be green. There's many, many different colors. And the key here is that there's no one color that gives you all of the things you need. There's no one magic bullet. So the more different colors that you consume, that means the more of these little very, very small compounds that you eat, each of which contributes some small piece to the large puzzle of staying healthy. So by eating a rainbow and concentrating on a wide variety of colors, you have greater diversity and more of these thousands and thousands of different compounds that ultimately contribute to our health.
Yes. Well, we are going to carry on the conversation in the next segment. And I just want to remind those of you who have just tuned in, you're with The Essentials of Healthy Living on 1500 AM, brought to you by Village Green Apothecary. Stay with us, folks. We will be right back after this break.
Solgar No. 7 can help you feel the difference. Solgar No. 7 actually shows improvement in joint comfort within 7 days. Now you can start to get back on track fast and pursue the activities you love. Solgar No. 7 is a breakthrough in joint care with no glucosamine and no chondroitin. The advanced bioactives in Solgar No. 7 help to increase flexibility, mobility, and range of motion within 7 days. One capsule once a day is all you need. When stiff joints occasionally say no, Solgar No. 7 says yes. Solgar No. 7, available at Village Green Apothecary.
New from Garden of Life, Kind Organics Whole Food Multivitamins. They are the only USDA-certified, organic, non-GMO-verified whole food multivitamins available. They're gluten-free, certified vegan, and feature a patent-pending clean tablet technology. Kind Organics is super clean, untreated, unadulterated, and real whole food. Kind Organics Multivitamins from Garden of Life. Be kind to your body and the earth. Kind Organics, now available at Village Green Apothecary and online at myvillagegreen.com.
Do you have unique needs that a mass market pharmacy can't meet? Village Green Apothecary can help. Maybe your doctor prescribed a special compounded formula, or you have concerns about allergies or dietary supplements. Our expert team includes pharmacists, nutritionists, clinical herbalists, and naturopaths who can offer you advice on nutritional products and personalized healthy living plans. We also offer specialized lab and micronutrient testing to our customers. Visit Village Green in Bethesda at 5415 West Cedar Lane. Call us at 301-530-0800. 800 or go to our website at myvillagegreen.com.
Staying mentally sharp means nourishing the mind as well as the body. That's why there's new Cognisure from Metagenics. Research shows that the active natural ingredient in Cognisure supports multiple mechanisms necessary for maintaining healthy cognition and a healthy brain as it ages. Cognisure is also easy to take in delicious, chewable chocolate tablets. Have a clear and bright future by maintaining mental capacity with healthy habits and Cognisure. Remember Cognisure for healthy brain aging support. Available through your healthcare professional and Village Green Apothecary.
Have you ever wondered why the cold and flu season occurs in the fall and winter months? One theory is because of a decrease in sun exposure, our bodies don't make enough vitamin D, which is essential to proper immune function. That's why medical experts recommend supplementing with vitamin D. Thorne Research's vitamin D products are made from pure vitamin D, with no preservatives or unnecessary ingredients added. Support your immune system with Thorne's vitamin D1000 and D5000. These and other immune-supporting formulas are always available at Village Green.
Welcome back, listeners, to the third segment of the Essentials of Healthy Living on 1500 AM, brought to you by Village Green Apothecary at 5415 West Cedar Lane in Bethesda, Maryland. I'm Dana Lake, alternating the show with Dr. Kevin Pissarro. We're here every Sunday morning at 10 a.m., and I invite you to tune in next Sunday for Kevin's interview on treating thyroid problems. Now, our guest today is Bill Shadle. He's a gifted educator on health and nutrition who's also Senior Director of Strategic Development for Metagenics. Our topic is the right diet, finding the one that fits. And we've been talking about diets, the many goals that people have. Is it to lose weight? Is it just to be healthy? Is there a specific health goal that someone has? And I would say that it's the last two. What is healthy? What is your specific health goal? And when you get the right diet and consume that, your weight should optimize. It should become optimum. It's not always true if your biochemistry hasn't been addressed, your thyroid, etc. And I also want to mention that the human diet is diverse, and it varies. If we look throughout the world, there are diets that are extremely high in fat, and that would be the Eskimo diet, the Inuit people. They need a lot of fat because they live in the cold climates, and they differ very strongly from what's available in the tropics. And I began this in dentistry, where the dentist that I knew at one point went around the world and looked at how people ate, and he found out that the closer the primitive people lived to foods of commerce coming in, the weaker they were, the more health problems they had. This was Dr. Price, and it was the Price-Pottinger Institute. And he documented with pictures of those living on their native diets versus those living on foods of commerce. And even the foods of commerce in that day when he was doing this, the foods of commerce were not as junky as they are today. And so when we talk about diet, we have to look at, I have actually a little list that I run down on when people say, what's the best diet? Well, it depends on your genetics, family history, ethnicity and culture, age, gender and stage, health status, diet quality, food reactions, lifestyle, stress and sleep. And so with the genome studies that we've had available to us, some people have the gene that requires a higher fat diet. Some people have the gene that requires a lower fat diet. And so there is no one diet. And I think, Bill, that's what you're going to talk about now. What are these different diets, and what can they do for us, or what can't they do for us?
Well, it's a good question, Dana, and I didn't realize you knew Weston Price. That's amazing. He's quite an icon in the nutrition industry. His book, Nutrition and Physical Degeneration, is still a really well done look at the profound change that happens when people switch from the type of diet that their culture has revolved around and evolved around into one of a more Western type diet. And he looked at it from the standpoint of changing the oral cavity and tooth decay. And the other thing I wanted to mention is that the type of fats, for example, that the Inuit consume is very different than the type of fats that we consume. It's much higher in omega-3 oils from cold water fish and seal and whale than the omega-6 oils that are found in most of the animal products that we consume.
Yes, so important.
You'll hear about it. And back to what we were talking about in the previous segment, we kind of circled around this, but the way I would phrase it is exactly as you've said, there is no one single diet that is the diet for everyone. Each of us are unique individuals, and each of us, if we have particular health problems, then those health problems might need to be addressed by looking at the type of food that we consume or a particular ingredient in foods. And we used the example in the first segment of celiac disease. If you've got celiac disease, you can't have wheat. And that's because the particular type of protein that's found in wheat, called gluten and more specifically gliadin, is in those people has caused a type of an inflammatory response where their immune system has become sensitized and activated against that wheat. And when they eat wheat, then their immune system overreacts to it as if it were an invader and causes damage to the GI tract. There's lots of other examples like that. Dairy in some people will contribute to problems with the gut, which is not necessarily, it may be related to the dairy protein, but it may also be related to the inability to properly digest the sugar that's found in milk. But you'll hear about a specific diet that's supposed to be the best diet for everybody. And first of all, I mentioned before that there is no single diet that's right for everybody for general health. And that's why I mentioned the concepts of eating a rainbow and eat food, pollen's work, Deanna Minnick eating a rainbow and pollen's work of eat food, mostly plants, not too much, as general guidelines rather than as rules. But when you're trying to accomplish a specific health goal, first of all, look at the data. Look at the research that's associated with a particular problem and see if you can identify anything that establishes fairly clearly in the research how to select foods. And what I'm driving at here is that probably the most thoroughly researched food plan, I hesitate to call it a diet because it's not like a step-by-step prescription, but it's a food plan of how to eat a healthy diet. It's called the Mediterranean food plan or the Mediterranean diet.
Oh, yes.
There's been thousands of studies that have been done on the Mediterranean diet, and this is a diet that tends to be, and these are very broad principles, higher in healthy oils. The fats come from things like olive oil, fish, and EPA and DHA, things like that. And also lots of fresh vegetables and fruits, predominantly, think of a Greek salad where you have a vinaigrette and oil dressing, and it's olive oil, and you've got lots of tomatoes and maybe some low-fat feta cheese, and there's olives and onions and a lot of other things that contribute to or that we know contribute to health. So the Mediterranean-style diet has been very thoroughly researched and is probably the one diet that has the greatest amount of research in support of its overall benefit. But even that doesn't mean that that's the diet for everyone. It just means that if you're trying to improve cardiovascular health or reduce your risk to type 2 diabetes or metabolic syndrome, that's where it's been demonstrated to really be beneficial.
Well, I think you brought up something very important with the Mediterranean diet and the many diet books. I see people choosing a book because it's supposed to be the diet of the day. You and I had mentioned, you know, the fad diets. And what amazes me, Bill, is that people will stay on the diet despite the fact they're not better. And they say, but the book says, if I keep eating this, it will change. No, you would treat your car better than that if you took it to, a mechanic that kept saying, well, yeah, we got to keep working on it, got to keep working on it. And I think that is one of my pet peeves in our health industry, if we want to talk about it in general, that people just won't step back again and say, is this working for me? And I invite people to try any change in their diet pattern for at least a month and see how they feel. Are they hungry all the time? Do they sleep well? Do they feel poorly? What is different about your health on that diet?
Right.
And they have to stick with it. They can't eat the new diet, the new plan for a few days and then go back, because food has an impact on us for anywhere from days to up to a week. And so we may take a long time to clear out when we go on a cleaner diet. So talk to us about the varied diets, Bill.
Well, I will. Thank you. And one of the things that you've addressed, or you've kind of touched on here, is the concept of mindfulness. And there's a lot of data that's emerging that shows that if we stop and think about what we're doing, if we become present, if we become in the moment, and become conscious and make conscious choices, that really helps to improve our overall health. But that's kind of its own topic. People have probably heard of the paleo diet. That's a real popular one in health circles these days. And the paleo diet is the concept that we evolved as hunter-gatherers. And our genes haven't changed significantly in the past 5,000 years, but the available food has. And we've gone from a hunter-gatherer type of a diet, where we would either catch or find what we would eat, to one where we're eating things that we grow. And so the paleo diet, or paleolithic diet, named after the era that it's supposedly taken from, is purported to be better for us because it's more natural. And I put those in kind of air quotes. Well, the problem that I have with a paleo diet is not that I think that it's a bad diet, because for some people, as you pointed out, it can be a good diet. The problem is that when you go back to the Paleolithic times, there were people who lived in the Arctic, there were people who lived in temperate zones, and there were people who lived in the tropics. And the available foods that they could find were very different. People living in the tropics were going to be eating fruits and vegetables, predominantly fruits. People living in temperate zones would be, would be more hunting or pulling up tubers. And in the North Country, they'd be eating seals and cold water fish. So what exactly does it mean? I mean, if the concept is stay away from grains that we grow, well, I'm not sure that that's really accurately reflective of what Paleolithic hunter-gatherers actually did eat. So depending upon where you are in the world, it's very difficult to define what that means to be.
You know, you've cleared that up better than anybody. You've described that so well, and we are going to keep this conversation going to the next segment. For those who have tuned in, I'm Dana Lake, your host for the hour. We are the Essentials of Healthy Living, and we're brought to you by Village Green Apothecary. We are having a wonderful discussion with Bill Schadl, and we're talking about diets and finding one that fits and what the right diet is. And we will talk about that more in the final segment. Stay with us, folks. We'll be right back.
Megafood Premium Whole Food Supplements are the only supplements crafted from scratch with farm-fresh whole foods to deliver nourishment the way nature intended. Megafood believes Mother Nature knows best. They select only fresh whole food, harvested at the peak of ripeness, handle it gently and with care to deliver its vital essence to you in every bottle. Megafood, from farm to tablet, our name is our promise. For more information, visit us online at megafood.com.
Bridging the gap between nutraceuticals and pharmaceuticals. That's the concept behind Zymogen's new exclusive and patented line of formulations, which utilize sophisticated delivery technologies to focus on specific molecular targets. The Zymogen EP line features Immunitix 3-6, a potent ingredient that has demonstrated a measurable ability to prime and enhance immune cell function. Applications include immune system support and support for white blood cell recovery following radiation therapy and other bone marrow-affecting treatments. Now available at Village Green Apothecary and online at myvillagegreen.com.
All over the world, people are beginning to discover fish oil is one of the best secrets for unlocking great health. Thousands of studies have shown the amazing effects of these powerful omega-3s for heart health. Plus, fish oils have even been shown to balance moods and lessen anxiety. With exceptional taste, unrivaled freshness, and unsurpassed purity, Nordic Naturals is the easy way to get your omega-3s every day. To learn more, visit Village Green Apothecary or visit NordicNaturals.com. Nordic Naturals, committed to the planet, committed to pure and great tasting omega oils.
Did you get enough lutein today to support eye health? Most Americans consume only 2 milligrams per day, yet populations with good eye health often consume 6 to 20 milligrams to protect the macula of the eye against oxidative stress and aging. Vision Optimizer from Gero Formulas supplies lutein, zeaxanthin, and 13 other vitamins, phytonutrients, and herbs that support eye health and function, reduce eye fatigue, and promote eye comfort. For more information, visit Gero.com. Gero Formulas, available at Village Green Apothecary.
Do you have unique needs that a mass market pharmacy can't meet? Village Green Apothecary can help. Maybe your doctor prescribed a special compounded formula, or you have concerns about allergies or dietary supplements. Our expert team includes pharmacists, nutritionists, clinical herbalists, and naturopaths who can offer you advice on nutritional products and personalized healthy living plans. We also offer specialized lab and micronutrient testing to our customers. Visit Village Green in Bethesda at 5415 West Cedar Lane. Call us at 301-530-0800 or go to our website at myvillagegreen.com.
Welcome back, listeners, to today's final segment of the Essentials of Healthy Living on 1500 AM. We're brought to you by Village Green Apothecary. I'm Dana Lake, and I share this hosting with Dr. Kevin Passero. We're here every Sunday morning at 10 AM. Please do listen to Kevin's interview next Sunday on treating thyroid problems. And our guest today is Bill Schadel. He's a gifted educator on health and nutrition. He's also the Senior Director of Strategic Development for Metagenics. And our topic has been the right diet, finding a diet that fits. Is there a right diet? And we've gotten so much good information. So if you didn't get to hear the first segments, you can stream this from myvillagegreen.com. It will be available to you in the following week. So please do that. This is an important show. So, Bill, let's talk about health challenges. What do people do? How do they find a diet that's right for them?
Well, that's a good question, Dana. And there's really the sad thing is that once you get past just general principles, and I won't say it's sad, it's the challenging thing, is that it's very difficult to know what exactly is the right diet for a person. And I want to stress, we've talked about this over the course of this discussion. There is no one single diet that is right for everybody. The closest to that is probably the Mediterranean diet, but even that isn't the right diet for everybody. And if you're a patient who's looking for a way to resolve some health challenges that you personally have, you really only have two options. And one of them is to educate yourself. And that's a challenge because it's sometimes difficult to look at, in fact, it's difficult for everybody to look at all of the different positions and opinions and to select the one that would be appropriate for you. So I encourage people, if they go that route to self-educate, is to use some very basic foundational skeptical and critical thinking skills. And don't accept something just because it's on a popular TV show or it's you see it in the newspapers or the magazines at the checkout counter at the grocery store. But really evaluate things. And there's a three-step process that you can go through that's not that difficult to grasp, but it takes time. And the first is look at the science. what science, what actual studies have been published in good peer-reviewed journals to support the claims that are made for a particular diet. And if there's not good science, but what you have are anecdotes, that, well, people have used this and love it. Well, that's not science. That's anecdote. So the next step is, if you don't have good science, all right, how long has it been used? What's the evidence of historical benefit? So have people been eating this food or a particular nutrient or an ingredient, or have they been taking it for a long period of time? And what are some examples of the type of results that have got people have obtained from taking it for a long period of time? A good example of that is Chinese medicine. The herbs that are used in Chinese medicine may not have a lot of data from a Western perspective, but they've been used in China for thousands of years. Now, I know that's not a diet per se, but it's an example of applying these critical thinking skills. And in each step, show me the studies, then show me the history or use of it. With each successive step, you get a little bit more skeptical. And if people are making outrageous claims for things and it sounds too good to be true, chances are it is too good to be true. And then, of course, the third step is, all right, well, if you don't have science and you don't have a history of use, what does this do and what's your justification for it? And then that needs to fit what I know to be true about the way the body works.
Excellent.
So educating yourself sounds, thank you, educating yourself is challenging because it takes time. You have to be skeptical. You have to think through the claims that are made and see if they do fit the reality of the studies or the history. The second step is, or the second alternative, is to find a healthcare practitioner who is knowledgeable, who has educated themselves, and can help you to select the diet that would be best for you. Excuse me. And that's really my recommendation, because doctors know that, in fact, there are ethical standards that prevent a doctor from treating themselves or their own family. A doctor knows that it's next to impossible to be truly objective about your own symptoms. So you tend to see things that may feel important to you, but someone who's objective would say, no, that's not abnormal. And if you're looking at your own self or your family, you can't be objective. In fact, there's a concern in medical school. There's a condition called medical student syndrome, where you think that you're catching every weird disease that only
yes.
affects one in a million people
yes.
that you read about. So the key there is to find someone who's knowledgeable and get them to make recommendations for you. And if they're good at what they do, they'll be able to look at you and your particular health challenges and decide if the ketogenic diet is best for you, if the paleo diet is best for you, if the eat right for your blood type is best for you, if the low FODMAPs diet is good, whatever it might be. And there are many, many different dietary approaches, both in terms of losing weight and improving your overall health. And someone who's knowledgeable about that will help you to select the best diet. And even then, if after a month you say, you know, this isn't working for me, you need to have a relationship with your healthcare provider that allows you that freedom to say, this isn't working, I need to try something else. And if they're good at what they do, they'll say, you're right, let's move on and find a different one. And it can be a bit of a search, but if you're patient and if you got the right healthcare provider, you'll get to where you do feel better, it does work for you, and it may be you're that one person out of a large group that benefits from this kind of strange combination of foods.
You know, this is wise information, and I think it's so basic and so important, and I do not think we've talked about it as much as we should. And I'm remembering something that I say to patients. Do foods cause the problems, or do the biochemical uniquenesses, differences in the individual cause food reactions? And
right.
you are essentially saying, find out what is a problem for you and what is
right.
good for you. And people are unique. That FODMAPs diet is for people with profoundly challenged digestive systems. It is very strict, but it works for those who
for those
fit
who need
that.
It.
Yes.
Right, right, right. And the one little piece that we haven't really addressed that I think I'll just throw in to muddy the waters even further is that there's now emerging evidence that the bacteria that live in our gut has a significant and maybe a profound contribution to the way we process foods, the way we process calories. And so it may not be how we digest proteins, fats, or carbohydrates, but how the bacteria that live in our gut digest the food that we can't digest, and then the signals that they send to us, to our body, that contributes to overall health, and including weight gain or weight loss. It's really an intriguing area that we're only just beginning to learn about, that the importance, to restate, the importance of understanding what's going on in what's called our microbiome, which is the bacteria and all of the different thousands of different bacteria that live in our gut, that contributes to as much to health as the food choices we make. There's even, and this is a little, it gives you pause, but there's even evidence that the bacteria that live in our gut influence the food choices we make
yes.
by influencing our brain through direct connection to the GI tract. There's a nerve called the vagus nerve that feeds directly to the brain from the GI tract. So the bacteria may be influencing us without our knowledge in the choices of food that we make because of what they want to eat.
Thank you.
I'm kind of anthropomorphizing, but
no, thank you so much for bringing this up. We do talk a lot about the microbiome, and what impresses me is there is so much new information, and it is
it's amazing.
Coming out so rapidly. And what I do see in my patients, and I'm not doing, these tests aren't being done on people with no health problems. So, you know, I have a unique group who have some health problems, but we in Western cultures have 25% of the diversity that we should have in our gut. That's amazing when compared with natural societies.
It is. And what we know now is orders of magnitude. It's hundreds or thousands of times more than what we knew even 15 years ago. But
oh,
we're
yes.
just scratching the surface.
And
what we'll know in 20 years is so much more than what we know now. It's a really exciting area of healthcare.
It is. And Bill, I want to thank you so much for joining us and sharing your information. We know we will have you back again. Thank you.
Well, thank you so much, Dana. It's been my pleasure.
And listeners, I want to remind you about Dr. Joseph Pizzorno's new book, The Toxin Solution, How Hidden Poisons in the Air, Water, Food, and Products We Use Are Destroying Our Health and What We Can Do to Fix It. It's a fine book. You can go on thetoxinsolution.com. TheToxinSolution.com. And this is recommended by Dr. Hyman, Mark Hyman, James Gordon, Jeffrey Bland, David Perlmutter, Michael Murray, and J.J. Virgin. So it has, it is an excellent book, and it gives you hard, fast information. You will like it. And I want to thank you, listeners, for joining us on The Essentials of Healthy Living. And please remember, it's not the number of breaths you take, it's the moments that take your breath away. This is Dana Lake and Village Green wishing each and every one of you good health and a breathtaking day.
Ah, the joy of commuting in Washington. Whether you work on the Hill or outside the Beltway, you know how stressful it is to get around. Stress can take a serious toll on your health, and Village Green Apothecary can help. We offer over 10,000 healthy living products, including top-quality nutritional supplements, herbal remedies, and more. Our nutritionists and pharmacists offer a personalized approach to help you with your health needs. Stop by Village Green Apothecary in Bethesda at 5415 West Cedar Lane, or visit our website at myvillagegreen.com.